Yep.
So, based on Coe's hit podcast of the same name, Cocaine and Rhinestones, the authoritative, well, it must be that size, history of the greatest country music singer of all time and queen of country music, also known as George Jones and Tammy Wynette, warts, bruises, broken bones and all. It is that, make no mistake, but the book is also much, much more. Well, let's go back. This is George in 1959.
Okay.
The sun went down, and then you'd fill him a jug and he'd pass it around. Mighty, mighty pleasing, Pappy's corn squeezing.
Shh, white lightning.
Well, the G-men, T-men, revenueers too, searching for a place where he made his brew. They were looking, trying to book him, but my Pappy kept on cooking.
Shh, white lightning.
And right away I knew, as my eyes bulged out and my face turned blue. Lightning started flashing, thunder started clashing.
White lightning.
Well, the G-men, T-men, revenueers too, searching for a place where he made his brew. They were looking, trying to book him, but my pappy kept on cooking.
White lightning.
Morning as he hit the ground. Mighty, mighty pleasing, your pappy's corn squeezing.
Whew, white lightning.
The G-men, T-men, revenueers too, searching for a place where he made his brew. They were looking, trying to book him, but my pappy kept on cooking.
Whew, white lightning.
George Jones, big hit, 1959.
Hello.
Hello, 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 hello,
Ron Robinson here.
And Carol McKibben.
And we are the Saturday Morning Show here for you for another hour. Most of us are here.
And, well, I was looking for the weather, and it's not here yet.
Okay, forget that weather.
Pardon me?
It was fine when we left, as they say in Belfast about the Titanic.
Yep.
I was going to say,
yes?
We were just talking about George Jones and another birthday.
Lightning.
Well, the Free Press book pages.
Yes.
Because there were three or four good things in there today, I thought, including new book by Elizabeth Renzetti. She said, Conversations About Equality, reviewed by Rochelle Squires. Of course, Renzetti, former columnist of the Globe and Mail, wrote to her several times. She answered me back.
Oh, good.
And
then you interviewed
this book,
her, did
yes.
you?
Well, yes. we did. Yeah, she came to town with a book. And, well, here's a little teaser from that first book.
I will often find her at the center of a rapt huddle, the odd word or phrase drifting out. Rupture, lawsuit, and then I saw a little curl of smoke above his testicle, and I knew something was wrong.
Yes, you would, wouldn't you? Elizabeth Renzetti with a book that was a real potboiler based on a character that was very, very much resembled Bette Lynch. Coronation Street.
Oh, really?
So it was a hoot. Have to look that up
yes.
and see if it's in the Winnipeg Public Library, I suppose. Anyways, a series of essays, including an essay, Who Cares? Renzetti looks at the low wages and devastating reality of the caring profession in a post-pandemic world. And don't forget, we're seniors here. Even before the pandemic laid us flat, she says, the paid and unpaid carers in Canada, most of whom are women, were in tatters, she writes. Renzetti questions why the caregiving... It's on the fold here. Why the caregiving crisis remains largely invisible in public policy, referring to the sector as exploitive for taking advantage of marginalized women. She does end on a positive note, you'll happen to know. Renzetti looks to the next generation, Taylor Swift, for example, for their enthusiastic efforts in breaking down the structures of inequality. So reviewed, as I say, by Rochelle Squires, pages of the Winnipeg Free Press.
What was the title again?
Elizabeth Renzetti with What She Said.
Okay.
Well, Colin, Conversations About Equality. McClellan Stewart.
I can say that I think the book has arrived and is in the library,
okay,
as well as her other two books. Oh. One as both as e-books, though.
What are the titles?
Shrewd and Based on a True Story.
Right.
Yeah.
There you go.
But What She Said, it says there aren't any available, 19 holds and 10 copies.
That means it's on order then, I think.
Yeah, I think it's still on order.
Right.
Yep.
All right, 7:06. Bunny Berrigan's birthday today, according to Wiki, or something, or what I looked up on this day. However, Wiki says, no, he's born tomorrow. It's too late now. We'll have to play him today. But first,
yes,
the weather.
Oh, well, right. it's not getting better yet. It's -4 now. Barometric pressure, 102.2 and falling. Humidity, 83%. Wind coming from the south-southeast at 10, giving us a wind chill of -8. It's going to be a mix of sun and cloud with fog patches dissipating this morning. Wind up to 15 kilometers and a high today of 7. Yes? Oh, I see.
Wouldn't surprise me.
Took you a minute to find it.
Well, I was in a fog. Couldn't find it. And you told me there was fog. Well, there you are.
I was in a fog so thick once.
How
in
thick
Vancouver.
Were you? Yes.
Like you put your hand about a foot, yes, in front of your face.
And you couldn't tell how many hands were there.
Yeah.
Well, I was in a fog so thick once.
Yes.
I was riding my motorcycle, Honda 360. British Columbia, early morning. Came over hill and down, and the fog had swept into the lower space.
Yep.
And the highway disappeared.
Yes.
And you could hear the trucks. And so all you can do is listen for the gravel if your tire goes off.
Yes.
On the edge, you see.
Ay, ay, ay.
So I'm glad to be here today, folks.
Yes.
Glad to be here today at 7:08. Now we're talking about Bunny Berrigan. So.
Right. Sorry. I interrupted with.
Either today or tomorrow.
Yes.
Only his mother knows for sure. American jazz trumpeter, band leader, famed during the swing era. Career and influence, yes, shortened by alcoholism, headed with his early demise, age of 33. From cirrhosis. So you've got to have a big title, big song that people identify you with. And for Bunny Berrigan,
yes,
it was this.
Ha ha ha. plane. I've settled revolutions in Spain. And the North Pole I have charted. Still I can get started with you. On the golf course, I'm under par. Metro Goldwyn have asked me to star. I've got a house, a show place. Still I can't get no place with you. Cause you're so supreme. Lyrics I write of you, I dream, dream day and night of you, and I scheme just for the sight of you. Baby, what good does it do? I've been consulted by Franklin D. Greta Garbo has had me to tea. Still I'm broken-hearted, 'cause I can't get started with you.
From 1937, from Let's Dance themes of the big bands, 1934 to 1947, Naxos, because they did, I don't know if they still do, a series of jazz CDs, which were wonderful, as well as Nostalgia was another of their lines, Naxos Jazz Legends. It is 7:13, Carol McKibben.
Yes.
I'm looking at I picked up a listing the other day. I was doing the Mystery Book Club at McNally Robinson Booksellers.
Oh, right.
We're going to do a new one in the spring.
Okay.
Stay tuned. It should be up on their website November the 6th. Details.
All right.
And you can sign on.
Okay.
It'll be February, March, April, May.
Okay.
So I'm looking at the community classroom.
And it'll be on Thursdays, you think?
Thursdays.
Okay.
1:30 to 3:00.
Okay.
So I'm looking at the little classroom, community classroom, and events calendar, because I see yesterday Darren Bernhardt was at McNally, 7:30 last night, with Prairie Oddities, Pumpkinhead, Peculiar Gravity, and more lesser-known histories, within conversation with Gordon Goldsboro. So this is his second book along that line, it seems to me. So you missed it. Couldn't go or missed it. Not to worry. I did an interview. We will do an interview with Darren next Thursday at about 3, the goal being then to have the interview on our show pages, Radio for Readers at 5, about 5:15 or so. We'll have an autographed copy to give away.
Nice.
And if for some reason we can't give it away there, we'll repeat that interview here on the Saturday morning show at 7:45.
Next Saturday.
Prairie Oddities, Pumpkinhead. Well, we've got to talk about Pumpkinhead, of course.
Well,
yes. And find out, what does this man consider as an oddity? And yes. One other note.
Now, just wait a minute.
Yes.
You had Pumpkinhead and Oddity in the same sentence.
I know.
Mm.
Well, do you remember his skull? Was scooped out, well, actually.
He
did look
no, he just
odd.
Had
Well, that's the whole point.
Hair.
And that's the point of the story, that Eaton's issued. The other bears couldn't have a hat on their heads because it would slide off. But
I see.
I've given it away. Looking at the Prairie Public PBS listing, because I got in the mail yesterday. We always look for Sundays. Oh, yes, Ridley continues, Marlowe Murder Club, Wolf Hall. But look for this now on Sunday the 10th. Howard's End, which
Ooh.
I take to be from the book by E.M. Forster, and I see there are four episodes through November.
Wow.
So that will be on PBS, which is the Fargo.
We'll have to look it up and see who's in it.
Prairie Public Broadcasting at, well, it's a very good question. I would say 7 o'clock Sunday night starting on November the 11th. 7:16... The war in Ukraine continues, but we have the D-Drifters to put us into better thoughts with Saskatchewan March. Saskatchewan Wedding March.
Wedding March.
Drifters from their CD, a Ukrainian anthology.
I'd go to that wedding.
Well, my favorite part is when the, actually it's before the wedding. It's the hoo-ha that before the wedding, they take the groom to be, and they turn him upside down, shake all the money out of his pockets.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, it's an indication for you right there, boys and girls. 7:19, that's old-fashioned, old-fashioned.
Yes.
7:19, so I think, well, one, who are we? You should tell people, I suppose that'd be the first thing.
Okay. Hi, I'm Dr. Melissa Hirschberg, author of The Rebel Diet, and you're listening to CKUW FM 95.9.
Right, and I think we want to go to the children's corner.
Oh.
So we say, children, wake up! Left, right, left, right, left, right. Halt!
I thought we
Sit were down
doing
in front of the radio.
Else. Okay.
Perfect circle there. Okay, perfect half circle.
Okay.
Are your ears planted very close to the radio? That's what we're looking for. I want your attention now. Billy, don't do that. Because I've got something for the boys and girls today from Charity Shop Fine, too. This is Hilaire Belloc, We'll forget about his political views. Let's go to his views on the Bad Child's Book of Beasts, More Beasts for Worse Children, Cautionary Tales, etc. This is a moral alphabet. Right. Are we listening then?
Okay, I am.
A stands for Archibald, who told no lies and got this lovely volume for a prize, eh? The upper school had combed and oiled their hair, and all the parents of the boys were there. In words that ring like thunder through the hall, draw tears from some and loud applause from all, the pedagogue with pardonable joy bestows the gift upon the radiant boy. Books make wonderful Christmas presents, he said in brackets. Except the noblest work produced as yet, says he, upon the English alphabet. Next term I shall examine you to find if you have read it thoroughly. So mind. And while the boys and parents cheered so loud that out of doors a large and anxious crowd had gathered and was blocking up the street, the admirable child resumed his seat. Moral. Learn from this justly irritating youth to brush your hair and teeth and tell the truth. One more. B. B okay. Stands for bear. When bears are seen approaching in the distance, make up your mind at once between retreat and armed resistance. A gentleman remained to fight. With what result for him? The bear, with ill-concealed delight, devoured him limb by limb. Another person turned and ran. He ran extremely hard. The bear was faster than the man and beat him by a yard.
Uh-huh.
Moral? Decisive action in the hour of need denotes the hero, but does not succeed. Tickling the ivories for you there, boys and girls. Back to your piano lessons now. Remember, parents, get 10%. That's the agent's fee for 722. I had a request for Tom Lear.
Yes.
Or compromising photographs would be released to the newspaper. So I went digging. We have an old LP, and I think I found something here.
One very familiar type of song is the Christmas, although it is perhaps a bit out of season at this time. However, I am informed by my disc jockey friends, of whom I have none, that in order to get a song popular by Christmas time, you have to start plugging it well in advance. So here goes. It's always seemed to me, after all, that Christmas, with its spirit of giving, offers us all a wonderful opportunity each year to reflect on what we all most sincerely and deeply believe in. I refer, of course, to money. And yet none of the Christmas carols that you hear on the radio or in the street even attempts to capture the true spirit of Christmas as we celebrate it in the United States. That is to say, the commercial spirit. So I should like to offer the following Christmas carol for next year as being perhaps a bit more appropriate. Christmas time is here, by golly, disapproval would be folly. Deck the halls with hunks of holly, fill a cup and don't say when. Kill the turkeys, ducks, and chickens, mix the punch, drag out the dickens. Even though the prospect sickens, brother, here we go again. On Christmas Day, you can't get sore. Your fellow man you must adore. There's time to rob him all the more. The other 360 of war. Relations, sparing no expense'll, send some useless old utensil or a matching pen and pencil. Just the thing I need. How nice. It doesn't matter how sincere it is, nor how heartfelt the spirit. Sentiment will not endear it. What's important is the price. Hark, the Herald Tribune sings, advertising wondrous things. God rest ye merry merchants, may ye make the Yuletide pay.
angels we have heard on high tell us to go out and buy. So let the raucous sleigh bells jingle, hail our dear old friend Kris Kringle, driving his reindeer across the sky. Don't stand underneath when they fly by.
Bit of Vanished Vinyl for you there. But boys and girls, I don't want you to worry about that song about Christmas, because Christmas Carol is coming.
Right.
And all going well. Well, I've been talking to you, James Hickerson, the wonderful guitarist.
Yes.
Way back when he was with the...
that group that did...
The Easy Tees. Yep. Yes, but he's done so much since then. Wanted to play guitar with it. I said, sure. But I haven't heard back from Dal Laverty about that, but we can always smuggle him in, because we're going to read A Christmas Carol at Dal Laverty Museum on Thursday, December 19th, the 20th, 21st, that's Friday and Saturday, at about 7:30. And then we'll do the special for people with deep pockets in the parlor. At 1 o'clock on Sunday, the 22nd.
Nice.
And I'm hoping and praying and wishing that James Hickerson will play guitar under what we're reading and add certain je ne sais quoi pizzazz.
You know, Christmas just wouldn't be Christmas without
Christmas Carol.
Christmas Carol.
Absolutely right.
And you're reading it, Donovert?
Yep.
Excellent talk, number one.
Well, we have 4 or 5 different LPs. I haven't decided whether we should, which one we'll play a little bit of.
Oh, I see. I hear on Saturday morning.
Well, we used to read them at for CBC. I have a full recording of everybody. I have me doing all stage, but we have the large round mound of sound.
Very clever,
Ross Porter. We have this. We have that. We have different people. Still working on that. Still working on that. Now, okay. One other thing for the boys and girls.
Yes.
Because, looking at the Winnipeg Free Press yesterday, the battle of the beaver never ends. Rodent damage, so you can tell right away there's a critical aspect to it here. Yep. Rodent damage in city parks, a serious problem, the councillor says. Beavers' gnawing habits are triggering calls for more work to prevent downed trees from piling up. Ed Scomro, who's been taking his dogs to Kilcona Park for more than 2 decades, said beavers have destroyed more than 100 trees there within the last couple of years. They've always been there, but it was very controlled, and they were cutting some odd trees here and there. Now, they are just out of control.
Uh-oh.
So one of the things you can do, apparently...
They're our national anthem, animal, you know.
You could remove them, but that doesn't work, apparently. Relocation, the animals usually... leads to the elms to be put down if they are trapped. He said the option rarely considered. So wrapping more trees with protective wire is a good mitigation option.
Right.
Which has been effective in the past. Which is why you see so many beavers with that little mesh in their teeth, like a retainer, what do you call it?
Braces.
Braces.
Yeah.
So boys and girls, that's why beavers have braces, right?
No.
Yeah.
There's a beaver in my backyard, he's cutting down our trees. My dad has asked him nicely, but he just will not leave. He's dragging branches in our pool, packing them with mud. We're afraid the next time that it rains, there's gonna be a flood. Beavers live near water, they love quiet lakes and streams. The one that's in our backyard likes the city best, it seems. With big buck teeth and flat black tail, he's really quite a sight. He's a busy little beaver, 'cause he's working day and night. There's a beaver in my backyard, he's cutting down our trees. Dad has asked him nicely, but he just will not leave. He's dragging branches in our pool, packing them with mud. We're afraid the next time that it rains, there's gonna be a flood. Says beavers are famous for the fur that's on their back. If he cuts down another tree, Dad'll have a heart attack. When he slaps the water with his tail, I think it's pretty funny. The kids at school think it's cool. His picture's on our money. There's a beaver in my backyard. He's cutting down our trees. My dad has asked him nicely, but he just will not leave. He's dragging branches in our pool and packing them with mud. We're afraid the next time that it rains, there's gonna be a flood. Home from school, I wanted to take a swim. I couldn't dive into the pool, and it's all because of him. He's built a lodge that's really big. There's nothing I can do. I can't wait till tomorrow when they take him to the zoo. There's a beaver in my backyard. He's cutting down our trees. My dad has asked him nicely, but he just will not leave. He's dragging branches in our pool and packing them with mud. We're afraid the next time that it rains, there's gonna be a flood. We're afraid the next time that it rains, there's gonna be a flood.
Well, there you go. There's no stopping them, apparently. Aaron Burnett from his CD, Call of the Wild. If you ever see that Aaron Burnett's performing, you should go. He's fun.
Yes.
7:31. Piece in today's Winnipeg Free Press. Love letter about Phantom of the Paradise. Attempting to explain the madness of the affection that Winnipeg has shown for this movie. It sold 20,000 LPs here in Winnipeg.
20,000.
20,000, according to the Free Press. So it must be
grief.
True.
Yeah. So us and Paris, for some reason.
That's it. Those are the two major cities.
Yeah,
there's
go
a
on.
Recognition of the madness that is Phantom of the
Phantom
Paradise.
Of Paradise.
Now, there are variations on that story so many times, but Paul Williams had his pulse on it, finger on the pulse. Absolutely,
right.
Yes. Love songs. Our love is an old love, baby. Wonderful things. Wonderful things like, we need a man who, just in time for the election. It's all there, Carol.
Or like Upholstery Where My Baby Sits Up
That's
Close
good
to
too.
Me.
That's good, too.
I knew absolutely nothing about this thing.
What?
And
what?
So you took me to see yes.
Yeah.
At a big show, Paul Williams maybe was there.
It's like an interview, Carol. This is the deciding factor. Does she like Phantom? Otherwise, it's over.
I think it was too late by then. We already owned a house together.
Oh, well, it was too late.
Yeah.
But Upholstery, since you mentioned.
Yes.
Yeah.
Carburetors, man. That's what life is all about. I was not myself last night, lost the fight, my Woody barely running. By a dude I should have beat, and on the street, a blow like that is stunning. When it's clean. I was not myself last night. I ran a light without my registration. Where the cops were bound to see, and you know me, already on probation. I wound up on parole. Supposed to be.
Beat It.
Hilarious.
Phantom of the Paradise from the original soundtrack LP. I was going to play a couple of other songs, but the very first cut, the LP has worked.
Ooh.
So you put it on.
Not good.
Denied to us. We have a second copy, but it's buried somewhere at home.
Oh,
so
okay.
Friday's Free Press, if you've still got that. Fans of Phantom Paradise. Filmmaker Kevin Smith shares Winnipeg's unusual love for the 1974 cult musical. Now, that was last night. Kevin Smith gets Winnipegged. But today, Phantom of the Paradise, 50th anniversary celebration. There's good news and there's bad news.
What?
They're showing the movie, 7 o'clock tonight at Burton Cummings Theater. Sold out.
Yeah.
Tickets are $26 at Ticketmaster. Saturday, they put another show on.
Yes.
And it says you're still on sale. And I looked last night, they were still on sale. But it was a resale price of $119 was the ticket they offered me.
Yikes.
I was stunned.
Yeah, no kidding.
I'm not going to paradise after all. No.
Not this week.
And Paul will be there. Paul Williams coming to Winnipeg.
Oh, he is coming.
Oh, yes.
Again.
Oh, yes.
All right.
He's here. 7:36.
Do you think they celebrate it over and over again in Paris?
No.
Okay.
Kelly
Just
Mosh.
Curious.
Winnipeg Free Press is our march around the breakfast table this morning from March the 14th for Gregory Dale Miller. Joined the RCAF, stationed St. John's, Newfoundland, where he met his sweet young thing, Annie Cole. 10 years with the RCAF and then on to Transport Canada, D&D. As well, obituary from April 13, 2024, for Douglas William McEwen. Listed in the RCAF, 1943. Served as a flying officer in the Royal Canadian Air Force Coastal Command, 407 Squadron, till the end of the war. And then a biography obituary for Edith Derke Maria Wassenaar Nifilos.
Wow.
Eldest of six children. 13 years old when the German army swept through Holland in 5 days.
Yikes.
Had to quit school, worked as a live-in maid for a wholesale bulb grower in her hometown of Lisse. Sent her meager pay home to help support her four younger brothers and sisters. She often said, I didn't really have a childhood.
No.
Not until May the 5th, 1945, Canadian Army broke through to Lisse and finally to free all of Holland from the Nazis' grasp. Edith, then 18... described it as a highlight of her still young life, roaring around the streets of Lisse in a Jeep with two young Canadian soldiers for a full week of celebrating.
Well, my Uncle Gordon was there, but I don't know that he was running around in a Jeep.
Celebrating.
Yeah.
My dad said he had a grand weekend in Rome once. All right. Our march then this morning, as we think of Edith and her memories, with Jim Asuvia.
Thank you.
at ease. Our marcher on the breakfast table this morning, the Central Band of Canadian Forces with Je Me Souviens, Regimental March, the Vandoos, the Royal 22nd Regiment, at 7:41. And I'm looking at the Free Press from Friday. A shoulder to lean on for 20 years. Deer Lodge Clinic treats serving and retired Mounties, military personnel. And it refers to Frank Yeman's life and problems he had. Served the Canadian Armed Forces 38 years, 15 more years at the Department of National Defense. 4 years ago, he found support at the Operational Stress Injury Clinic at Winnipeg's Deer Lodge Center. Celebrates his 20th anniversary this past Thursday. 25-person clinic serves veterans and active members of the Canadian Armed Forces and RCMP at Manitoba, Northwestern Ontario, and Nunavut. Offers psychotherapy, pharmacotherapy, and education services for patients and their families to help them address injuries such as post-traumatic stress disorder stemming from the line of duty. And the clinic, among the first of its kind when it was launched in 2004, now one of the top-performing facilities in the National Operational Stress Injury Network. It includes 10 permanent clinics and 11 satellite sites.
Our choir is going to be
at Deer Lodge
on December 6th singing Christmas carols.
We had a good time there last year. Looking forward to being back there.
Yeah.
Yes.
This is Mark Critch, author of Son of a Critch, a childish Newfoundland memoir, and you're listening to CKUW-FM 95.9.
Now it's 7:43.
Yes.
I'm just looking at on this day, Carol in history.
Mm-hmm.
1899, the Boers begin the siege of Ladysmith in Natal, South Africa. I knew a man who was there.
Oh, wow.
He said, we ate the horses. He'd be in his just a teenager when he was there.
Yeah, I would
On
say.
This day in 1917, yeah. The Balfour Declaration, he was the prime minister then, of course, proclaims support for a Jewish state in Palestine, 1917. 1936, CBC is established. Well, it went through several transmogrifications, of course, before. On this day in 1956, Hungary appeals for UN assistance against Soviet invasion, and a great silence followed.
We took a Hungarian in.
After 56?
Yeah, well, I was too young to remember,
right.
But yeah.
Born on this day in 1734, Daniel Boone, yes, all right. But I was thinking of playing something else. And that
another savage animal.
Died on this day in 2014.
Yes.
Well, Bernard, but he was known as Ackerbilk.
Thank you.
Orchestra from the CD Trad Jazz Special. We've got Chris Barber on this as well, and Akerbilk doing a Sweet Georgia Brown. Kenny Ball, of course, Midnight in Moscow. Akerbilk, British. That style he had with playing as eventual clarinet style. He lost two front teeth in a school fight and half a finger in a sledging accident.
Yuck.
Both of which he said affected his style of playing. Yes.
No kidding.
You couldn't miss him either with the goatee, bowler hat, striped waistcoat. 61 instrumentals tune, Stranger on the Shore, UK's biggest selling single of 1962. 50 weeks in the UK charts, peaking at number two. Second number one single in the United States by a British artist. In Canada, it was number four for 4 weeks.
Wow.
Before peaking at number three. 7:49.
Yeah.
Carol McKibben.
Yes.
What do you have for the people?
Well, we were thinking about the change in the clocks tonight. And so I'm going to talk about a change in a calendar and 10 days that just vanished into thin air. So the Julian calendar, that was named after Julius Caesar, and the prevalent calendar in the Christian world for the first millennium common era and part of the second millennium, was an improvement over the Roman Republican calendar that it replaced, but it was 11 minutes and 14 seconds longer than it should be. The result? The calendar drifted about one day for every 314 years. Well, that doesn't sound too bad, does it? One of the problems... one of the...
Closer. No, I'm 11 days over here.
No, your mic's not on. Yeah. One of the problems calculating the date of Easter, which was decreed should fall on the first Sunday following the first full moon after the vernal equinox, which at the time fell on March 21st. The growing discrepancy between the two dates was noted in the 8th century Common Era, but the Julian calendar, flawed as it was, remained the official calendar of the Christian Church. And then in the mid-1500s, they asked Pope Gregory XIII to fix the problem by inventing a reformed calendar. It took another couple of decades to find a suitable fix and put it into place. And after years of consultation and research, in February 1582, it was made known that the reformed calendar was to be known as the Gregorian calendar. The most surreal part of implementing the new calendar came in October 1582, when 10 days were dropped from the calendar to bring the vernal equinox from March 11th back to March 21st, where it belonged. Something as complex as a new calendar couldn't go without a hitch, though.
What?
The Protestant and Orthodox countries didn't want to take direction from the Pope, so they refused to adopt the new calendar. So Catholic Europe, that's Austria, Spain, Portugal, Italy, Poland, and the Catholic states of Germany, suddenly jumped ahead of the rest of the continent by 10 days, and traveling across a border often meant traveling forward or backward.
Where am I?
On the calendar, exactly.
Where am I? How can
eventually, most countries did begin to adopt the Gregorian right. calendar, and the Protestant regions of Germany and the Netherlands switched in around the 17th century. Great Britain and the territories of the British Empire followed in 1752, rolling out the Gregorian calendar around the globe. Final note then, Ron. There were riots in England because workers thought they were going to lose a week and a half pay.
Well, the workers get excited, don't they?
Yes, they do.
So, in other words, at 2 o'clock this morning...
Or tomorrow morning.
It'll be tomorrow morning, won't it?
Yes.
When you said Julian calendar, I started thinking... Julie, don't go.
One day, not 10.
Yeah, so
yes.
2 o'clock this morning. When you think it's 6 o'clock, it's 5.
Okay.
We did the town the day we to remember the quiet walks, the noisy fun, the ballroom prize we almost won. We will have these moments to remember. Though summer turns to winter and the present disappears, and other days may find us gone our separate ways. We will have these moments to remember.
The drive-in movie, where we'd go, and somehow never watch the show.
We will have these moments to remember. Though summer turns to winter and the present disappears, the laughter we were glad to share will echo through the years. When other nights and other days may find us gone our separate ways, we will have these moments to
at 7:56.
Canadian, right?
Yeah, I believe so. I'm looking at the Winnipeg Free Press from Friday, October 25th, speaking of moments to remember. Do you remember when Ai Weiwei's cycle, 1,254 bicycle sculpture, was here?
Yeah, we never got to see it.
Well, they're bringing it back.
Oh, good.
It is back.
Good.
Yeah, it's a 2-year residency in Austin, Texas. So, Forks Renewal Corporation formally revealed the work on Tuesday, spokesperson promising details about the exhibit's duration would be announced that day. Crews were on site Thursday, assembling the velo sculpture, disposing of the wooden crates the bikes arrived in, drawing onlookers to remark on the installation. So,
they're being cagey there, but I heard something like 10 years.
I thought so, too. I didn't want to say that because I didn't see it in the paper here. Let's just say it's on loan. Put it that way.
Right.
7:56.
Yes.
I have to pop. Maybe let's get there before the snows comes.
Yes.
Now, one more look at the weather.
-4. And mix of sun and cloud. A bit of wind up to 15 kilometers an hour. A high today of 7.
Right you are. I'm Ron Robinson.
And I'm Carol McKibben.
We are the Saturday Morning Show. We'll be back for you next Saturday, 6 until 8. Don't forget, as I say, we've got that Prairie Oddities book, certainly
right.
The interview for next Saturday, but we'll
looking
have
forward to that.
Autographed copy we're hoping to give away next Thursday on Pages.
Okay.
Radio for Readers at 5:15 here on CKWFM 95.9 on your FM dial. Yesterday, all that candy. Halloween.
Yes.
We didn't give
and
it all away because
before.
We turned the lights out and hid up on the second floor. Because we thought it was all over. So we'll leave you with the Candyman himself. And I'm thinking of the Mississippi John Hurt, who died in this day in 1966. Stay tuned for Green Planet Monitor.
All your ladies all gather round, that good sweet candy man's in town. It's the candy man, it's the candy man. Mm-hmm. days long. He sells his fast to hog and chew his cone. It's the candy man. It's the candy man. Sister Johnson said she always takes a candy stick to bed. It's the candy man. It's the candy man. Don't stand close to the candy man. He'll leave a big candy stick in your hand. It's the candy man. It's the candy man. All he had is the candy man. It's the candy man.